as applied to many of the spheres around the earth, the spiritual spheres, that life is very like in certain respects your life. Yet there are planes or spheres far removed where life is totally unlike, where human beings who once were upon earth are so transformed by the spirit that they cease to have any material link, material desire, and there is no way, as far as I can see, of depicting or picturizing their existence, which is so far removed from your experience of a life. We have here in the realms of spirit planes, spheres which are so rarely beautiful, so extraordinarily beautiful, where colouring is so far removed from your knowledge of colouring, where there is such glorious harmony of sound, that you are living in an environment which is perfection as far as it's possible for the mind to imagine such a thing. And yet we know, even those who live in those spheres know, as wonderful as their life is, that it is not perfection. There's always something a little further removed, which is more perfect. When we come to you, as we often do, and I don't just refer to you, I refer to people genuinely who understand something of this truth. When we come down to you to help you, to guide you, to instruct you, and to develop your spiritual and psychic force or power, we're often discouraged. Because it seems to me the majority, a large number of people at least, who sit in circles, say their desires of developing and of being of service, often we realize that they have very little patience. They want things done very quickly. They want to see some sign or some signal. We can understand that, but at the same time, it is essential that those who sit should realize that their motive of sitting must be complete unselfishness, that they must sit with the idea and intention of developing themselves truly in a spiritual sense, even more so than in a psychic one. The majority of so-called spiritualists are only concerned with psychic development, signs and wonders must be given to them, and they very rarely have the patience to give us the opportunity to give them to them in any case, and often they are unfitted in themselves to sit and develop. They start off, as it were, on the wrong foot. They start off on a physical sense rather than a spiritual one. They put so many things before the right things. As I see it, a circle should consist of sincere souls who are sitting for spiritual upliftment and oneness with the divine, realizing that we have come to you are but instruments of the Most High, utilizing the power for good, trying to open up, as it were, the path so that they may tread it in light and in spiritual advancement. But so few, so very, very few of those who hold circles, and I've been to hundreds of them, sit with the right intention. They sit because they want signs and wonders. They want psychic development rather than spiritual development. And often they want to become mediums, not always because they want to serve humanity, but because they want to bolster up their own ego, their own personal self. I regret having to say these things. You may wonder why I brought this into my talk this morning. morning, but I realize the advantage that these recordings have, inasmuch that they can be listened to by many people who are on the fringe of this truth, and who may be thinking of sitting and opening up, as it were, for the development of themselves, psychically, and I do hope spiritually, to realize that when they sit, they should sit together in perfect love, perfect harmony, realizing that the real motive of their sitting together is for spiritual unfoldment, that they might be blessed, that their eyes might be opened to the things that are of God. A little while ago you asked us about what we do when we're away from the earth. If I were to say that we constantly think of you, that our prayers are ever for you, that our love is ever with you, that in some measure we're endeavoring still to help you, though apart from you in a sense, because we are in our own condition, away from earth. Yet it is true to say that we never cease to hope that man who has found a glimpse of truth may become more enlightened by our efforts, that he will be more and more strengthened, that he will be given more faith and more power to do the work of the Most High. We never cease, not for 1 second of your time, in hoping that here and there, out of the thousands of people who call themselves spiritualists, we shall find at least some who will put first things first and realize that we are opening up, as it were, the door to spiritual ideals, to spiritual experience, which will benefit the whole human race. We come, as you know, to break down the barriers that separate men throughout the world, the barriers that man has built up in his pride and his ignorance and foolishness, the barriers between peoples, religion and class, creed, dogma, all these things man-made which separate men from God. We come that we might change the whole world, that they might see with the eyes of the Spirit, and hear with the ears of the Spirit, and walk with the strength of the Spirit, and not blindly as they do, tottering as it were from birth to the grave, ignorant of truth, ignorant of the facts which could so help them on that journey. Tired at times, the seances and circles that we've been to, where all we are concerned with is of a low order. If a table rises, or if something consequential happens, then they are filled with wonderment, and they are thrilled and happy, feeling that the evening has been well spent. That has its place, but remember, it is of no importance in comparison to the truths of spirit, to the message of spirit, to be in harmony and in tune with those from the higher level. We have a great task to fulfill, a great job to do, and we need instruments of spiritual quality rather than material or psychic. There must be balance. You need the psychic gifts, psychic force. Without it, to what extent our work would be restrained remember. They are but the beginnings, these things. It is the things that have the spirit in the true sense that will save mankind. That is why I always welcome your visits here, why I welcome these recordings, because I can in some measure reach many souls, some of whom, no doubt, will feel and understand as I do that the things that matter are the things of God, and the things of God shall set men free and make them happier, and make them conscious of the oneness that they have with the Father. It is our work, our task, and we bless you as our instruments and the opportunities that you give to us. Bless you again. Our task is not only, as you know, to help all these various souls in your world who are seeking, but above all that we might, in time, help them to become more and more conscious of the great responsibilities that are placed upon them. For indeed, indeed, our children of one living Father, one God, have a great responsibility one to the other, and they are put into the world for a definite purpose, not only to mold their own personality and character, to walk, as it were, more closely with the angel world, and to gain more consciousness of the things that are of God, but to put these things into a practical sense. For if your world is to save itself from destruction, it is pretty obvious that men and women must change in their mentality and in their outlook. Their hearts must be more open and more free. They must supply for themselves all the things that hold them down to earth, all the material conceptions of things, including religion particularly, must be changed. They must realize that they are indeed part of a great whole, that they are part of God himself. They have the divine power within themselves to do the things that Jesus and other great prophets told them that they should do. For once a man has set his foot on the path of spiritual enlightenment and progress, great things are possible. The whole world, as you know it, could be changed if all the barriers that stand between men and nations could be broken down. And in our opinion, this great knowledge and truth, this revelation of spirit, could do that. And we need all the converts. We need all the souls who are willing to work and cooperate with us. If only they realize the tremendous power that could come to them from this side of life, once their minds and hearts are opened, and they are indeed willing to put into practice the things that we teach. Oh, there's so much we want to convey. It would need hundreds and hundreds of such sittings as this for us to convey but a fraction that is in our minds and our hearts. But we are indeed grateful that you at least strive to the best of your ability to give us such opportunities, and that you make these recordings to play back to your friends who are prepared to listen. I only hope and pray that we should be able to do much, much more in this direction.
Yes, I hope so.
A long time ago, you know, I came to you. It was my desire that you should know more of this great knowledge and truth, that you should work together, as I know you do, in love and in harmony towards this great goal which we set ourselves. There are many things that we've endeavored to give you. Some things that we have been able to say have helped souls in your world who are sad and lonely, struggling with finding truth gradually. But there's so much to do, so much. It is I, Moses, of course. I'm so sorry. I take it so much for granted that you know it is I.
Yes, I can feel the vibration of it. It is you.
When I think back to my earthly existence, and I realize that I was privileged, as I indeed was, with this knowledge and revelation. Yet at the same time, I realize how much more I might have done. I think all of us who come from your world to this look back with sometimes regret and say that we might have done this or that, but we do that which is possible.
Lacking in spiritual things. It is in the
sense that we can make progress. We look forward so much to these chats with you, knowing the value of them to others. Oh, it is indeed a great joy and privilege to have these opportunities to come to you, dear friends. I will come again.